Adams of the Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Time to pass the popcorn, our look at movies. We do it every Monday with Alan Adams of the Main Edge. Brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Welcome in, Mr. Adams.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Doing very well. Better, thanks. Back in the pink. You have wrapped up your time for a moment or two at Penobscot Theater and a good closing performance of Escanaba in the Moonlight.
Yeah, no, we closed things out this past weekend. It was a lot of fun. We had great crowds to close things out. We had a heck of a time up there. It's always, you know, sort of bittersweet to say goodbye to a production, but happily I'm not going to have a whole lot of time to dwell on it.
Yeah, you get a day and then you start on the next one, huh?
Yep, first read through for Ugly Lies the Bone is tomorrow evening. Very much looking forward to it. It's about as diametrically opposite a show as you can be from something like Escanaba in the Moonlight. So it's one of those things where I'm really looking forward to doing something. It's a phenomenal script, one of the best ones I've read in a long time, and so I think audiences are going to be truly and genuinely engaged and challenged by this show, and I think that's something that that's very important.
Very cool. All right, well, let's get right to it, because there has rarely been in recent times as much buzz about a movie that wasn't Star Wars. And so let's talk. You were there. You saw it over the weekend. How good was Early Man?
Yeah, we'll talk about that for a second. It's lovely. It's from Aardman Animation. Nick Park, the gentleman behind the Wallace and Gromit movies. Yeah. This is his latest one, Early Man. It's actually kind of a surprise, because it's about cavemen, but it's also a sports movie. I did not expect it to be a sports movie, but it is, in fact, a sports movie. You have a young caveman named Doug, voiced by Eddie Redmayne, who lives with his tribe in a small valley that was carved out years ago by a meteorite. A meteorite that also inadvertently led to them inventing the game of soccer.
That's where it comes from. Okay.
But it's long forgotten at this point. They're living in their valley. They're a bunch of sort of amiable and ambitionless kinds of guys and ladies. And then the Bronze Age just kind of shows up, led by an inexplicably French accented Tom Hiddleston as Lord Newth, who decides that he's going to mine for ore in this valley and drives Doug and his tribe out into the Badlands. Through a set of circumstances far too convoluted to go into here, Doug finds his way to the Bronze Age city, where he discovers that the city is built around what they call a sacred pitch, and it's all about playing football. So he winds up challenging the city's champions to a game. If Doug wins, his tribe gets their valley back. If they lose, they wind up working in the mines for the rest of their lives. And then it goes from there. It's one of those things where, like, there's a certain quality to Nick Park's movies, this wonderful sort of innocence that I don't think you really get with a lot of even other animated movies. You don't really get there's a sweetness to it, and there's also a depth that comes with just the sort of unique kind of stop motion style that they bring to the table that is a lot of fun. And we've talked about this before. I think we're both of the feeling that it's okay for a kid's movie to just be a kid's movie. Without sort of winks and elbows to the ribs for the grownups in the audience, but it's at the same time, it's not a condescending kind of thing, you know? And so it's one of those things where it's very much for kids, but, only the most cynical of adults is going to struggle to have a good time with this movie. But yeah. And so there's training montages and a climactic soccer match and the whole shebang, and basically a who's who of English talent. Voicing Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones is in this, among many, many others. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It kind of got swamped this weekend, which them and everybody else.
Yeah, well, so let's talk about Black Panther. Everybody talking about it. And yeah, I've seen a handful of negative comments from the usual suspects, but about as close to universal praise as you can get.
It's one of those things where... It was almost impossible to think that this movie could live up to the sort of hype buildup that it's been going through over the past month, 2 months, basically since it was announced. Not only does it reach that bar, it clears it. Like, it's really just a phenomenal, phenomenal movie. One of the things that I think has been leveled as criticism for the folks at Marvel, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is that they've become kind of wed to their formula, which understandably so. Like, when your formula, basically guarantees you 9-figure openings and you make, $500 million on every movie, you're probably going to stick with what works. But this movie is not that. It's remarkable. Like, Ryan Coogler, the director who also co-wrote the screenplay, is just a remarkable filmmaker. And he really found a way to sort of, it's difficult to explain, but it's like the structure, the basic skeleton, the MCU like foundation is still there, but he's managed to fill it with his own personal vision, if that makes sense. And so what you get is a movie that, there are the familiar beats that you get in all of these superhero movies, like that stuff is still there. But you get a movie that actually feels like it means something, which, it's still a movie about, people with superpowers wearing skin tight costumes, fighting with one another. But it's also a movie about, colonialism and the rise of empire and a celebration of the idea of Afrofuturism, which is a criminally underrepresented thing in the cinema. And you get these this idea of what it means to be African and what it means to be African American, and all of this, through the lens of a guy dressed up like a cat. Like, it's just so remarkable to experience something like that, and to know that as much as I loved it, and I did love it, there are people out there who are basically getting the chance for the very first time in their lives to see someone that looks like them represented in that way on the big screen. And you can't undersell that. Like, it's one of those things where it's such an important thing. And it feels weird to be talking about a superhero movie in terms of importance, but it really, really is. And I mean, it doesn't hurt that it's excellent. Like, Chadwick Boseman stars as T'Challa, the titular Black Panther, the soon to be king of the fictional African nation of Wakanda, which has spent hundreds of years basically hiding from its neighbors, like becoming incredibly isolationist because of the secret cache of vibranium that exists there, and so it has allowed them to advance their technology like centuries beyond what anyone else has been able to do, but they keep that, they keep that under wraps. And so Wakanda is viewed from the outside as a fairly poor, like resource poor nation, which is, far from the case. But his T'Challa's father, T'Chaka, died in Civil War. And so this movie takes place in the immediate aftermath of that film. And he has to go back home to assume the throne, but he meets up with his mom, the queen, played by Angela Bassett, his sister Shuri, played by Letitia Wright, and he also brings in Nakia, who is the lead of the Wakandan sort of spy organization, also his ex-girlfriend, played by Lupita Nyong'o, and then you've got other prominent names. Forest Whitaker's in this movie. Daniel Kaluuya, who's, Oscar-nominated Daniel Kaluuya. All of these people, like, coming together in an effort to continue the transition of power. Meanwhile, you've got an arms dealer by the name of Ulysses Klaue, played by Andy Serkis, who could not be having more fun in this movie, who is attempting to sell some ill-gotten vibranium to the U.S. government. An agent, Everett Ross, played by Martin Freeman. I was going to say Martin Sheen. I'm like, no, it's not Martin Sheen. And Claw's partner is a gentleman by the name of Eric Stevens, a former Black Ops U.S. soldier with the nickname Killmonger, played by Michael B. Jordan. I'm not going to go into too many details beyond that. Just know that certain confrontations come, acts from the past have repercussions in the present in a way that is really fairly shocking for this kind of movie. And yeah, and we'll leave it at that in terms of the plot synopsis, I think. But visually, it's stunning. It has, you know, it has the stuff you want. It's got the, you know, it's got the big car chase, and then there's a huge like battle scene with, you know, with giant armored rhinoceri and stuff like that, and then, you know, some great hand-to-hand combat stuff, like some really great action effects stuff. But you also have these wonderful sort of interpersonal interactions, which you know, come from, you know, the script that that Coogler co-wrote. And there's also, my understanding is that the Glover brothers, Donald and Steven, actually took a pass at the script as well. So it's like you have that sort of that sense of humor and that sense of, you know, of Black identity, very, very inherent to the story being told. And the performances are exceptional. Like, just exceptional. Like, Chadwick Boseman is the ideal choice for a role like this. Lupita Nyong'o, obviously, is incredibly talented. You know, Angela Bassett and Forrest Whitaker, you know, are here. Daniel Kaluuya. Like, all of these people, you know, Freeman, Serkis, like, all these actors are really, really talented. And they're doing wonderful work. And they're all incredibly invested in the story that's being told. And I have to make sure this is clear. Michael B. Jordan is probably gives the greatest villain performance in the history of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this is coming from someone who loves Tom Hiddleston and what he did and all that. But it's just like he's an incredibly talented actor. And what we've gotten is maybe the most layered and nuanced villain that they've ever taken the time to create. And you know, and there's been a lot of talk that the MCU has a bit of a villain problem. That was not in evidence here because it's just incredibly compelling. And, you know, the conflict just had so much more gray area than you usually get in these sorts of situations. Just because, you know, it's like some of the choices on the side we're supposed to be rooting for are questionable. And some of the choices on the side that we're supposed to be rooting against make a lot of sense. And so when you kind of have that sort of overlap there, when things aren't necessarily as cut and dried as they so often are in this type of movie, what you get is something that's really kind of challenging in a way that you just don't see. And I could go on and on and on about this movie because I just loved it. Like, I loved everything about it. And the fact is that I loved it, even though it wasn't necessarily made for me.
Right.
And I think that's something that's important to address. It's important in a lot of different ways. And
or is it? I mean, isn't it made for everybody to see this and to understand this?
Well, I think that's the thing, though. It's I think it's important simply because I think you're right. I think it is made for everyone, but I don't think it's ever been so clear that's true, if that makes sense.
You know, not the prime target.
You know what? It doesn't matter. You don't have to aim it specifically at one group because that's the joy of this. Like, everybody reads comic books, man. You know, and everybody has those memories of these sorts of characters and stuff. And to basically prove some of the unfortunate conventional wisdom wrong, I think is it's a big deal. Like, and that's what this movie does because, there are certain quote unquote, you know, truths about the movie business that this movie has essentially undone in one gigantic weekend.
Absolutely. The deal right there on Black Panther from Alan Adams of The Main Edge with Pass the Popcorn. Thanks, Alan.
My pleasure.